Sports Radio 1290. CFRW, Winnipeg.
Sanchez takes it in, and the bench is empty. That'll do it.
A division of Bell Media.
Sports Radio 1290 presents the summer edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 2 hours of in-depth analysis, insight, and opinion into Canada's game.
Just a quick shot. Score! Just like that.
Now, here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
And, six.
Hey there, Richie.
We're on.
That's a quick turnaround right there from Hustler and Lawless. Good evening, Winnipeg. Take care, Hustler. We'll see you later on, buddy. That is one quick turnaround. Good evening, Winnipeg. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in studio by Richard Pollock. Michael Remus is joining us. I have no idea where Ezra Ginsberg is again. Anybody?
Ezzy and Chris are having a chat.
Okay.
Yeah. Chris is letting Ezzy go.
Ezzy's out? Ezzy's out?
Ezzy's, yeah.
Okay. Ezzy's out. Should we just lock him out? All right. Come on in, Ezzy. Join the crowd. We still like you.
Hi, Ez.
Ezzy Ginsberg, the third of the Illegal Curve crew. Michael Remus is operating the R-Desk. Check him out at www.illegalcurve.com. Follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve.
Got my own Twitter today.
Richard Pollock has joined Twitter, at IC Richie P, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
That's right, Drew. Good first try.
That's a fresh
Twitter account, Richie. Hi, everybody, by the way. That is that Twitter account's only about 7 hours old. Because Richie, for everyone who...
I believe that's factually incorrect. I believe Richard has had Twitter for a long time, but he's just never tweeted. Is that correct?
No, I created an account probably a year ago, used it for like a month or two, and then got off completely. And then when I went to, I didn't start a new one this time. I just kind of cleared everything out, changed the name, and then kind of started from like 30 followers.
Well, there you go. You can follow.
Sorry, following.
There you go. You can follow everybody from Illegal Curve that's on Twitter. Just go to IllegalCurve.com. On your left-hand side of the screen, you'll see all of our Twitter feeds. Follow us all along at Illegal Curve. We want to hear from you. Coming up on today's program, 6:15 this evening, General Manager of your Winnipeg Jets, Kevin Cheveldayoff, is going to join us. Coming up at 6:30, Jeff Kerberson from the Winnipeg Free Press. 7:15, Mike Greenlay, color analyst for the Minnesota Wild. And 7:30, Randy Hahn of the San Jose Sharks. Obviously, those two teams swung a big trade in the last week, so we're thrilled to welcome both of them to the air to see how that trade helped each team individually. Let's start with
the truth is, it's actually those two teams who made two big trades.
That's right. Of course, the Setoguchi-Brent Burns deal that went down at the NHL draft.
So who better to speak to than the Sharks play-by-play guy, Randy Hahn, and the Minnesota color guy, Mike Greenlay.
Exactly right. Can't disagree with what you just said there, Richard. Let's start with the big news here for hockey fans in Winnipeg. That was the official contract signing for Andrew Ladd yesterday, in case you've been under a rock somewhere. 5 years, $22 million average annual value, i.e. your salary cap hit of $4.4 million over the span of the contract. You know, we've been speculating for... It seemed like it was almost a foreconclusion conclusion this was going to get done. They couldn't let the current face of the franchise get away, after, say, a year here or a short period of time. So they needed to get him under a long-term contract. We were speculating about the value on the website over the last number of weeks and months. We thought it would come in a little bit lower. Do you have a problem at the 4.4 average annual value?
You know, I wrote about it yesterday. Drew posted today on IllegalCurve.com. And the truth is, Andrew Ladd was in a situation as an RFA with as much leverage as any RFA is going to have. He's in his last year of the restricted free agency. He would have been a UFA next summer not because he's 27, but because he started really young, and he'd already have played 7 seasons in the National Hockey League. So he was going into his final year of RFA status with a pending UFA status next summer, meaning he could sign anywhere he wanted to. So in reality, he could have, if they couldn't have come to an agreement... Right, yesterday.
Or if he decided he didn't like what he heard from True North when he came here that first time.
He could have declared as a player, declared for salary arbitration. They could have gone to arbitration if they couldn't negotiate anything beforehand. He could have been granted a salary by the arbitrator, which the Jets would have had the opportunity to walk away from. They're not going to walk away from it and give him away for nothing. So he was going to get whatever the arbitrator gave him. I think minimum 3.4, probably a little bit more. So that was the option for the Jets. Then he would have been on a 1-year deal. a one-year deal, heading in as a lame duck into his UFA year. So the Jets would have had basically very, very, very little hand, so to speak. The leverage would have all been with Ladd. He could have gone into the UFA market, and based on the salaries we've seen here, as he probably could have made $5 million a year.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, with all the leverage that Ladd had, the fact that he is the face of the franchise, as much as the True North has made him to be, and he's made himself to be, which
as
is all good.
As the captain of the team coming over from Atlanta,
absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely. And the importance, considering the salary signed on July 1st, which is very important. His agent didn't get anything done until after July 1st. We'll ask Kevin Cheveldayoff about that. For all those factors, I thought the Jets did, maybe is it a tad overpay, a tad, but overpay your better players, which he is, than the worst players. You know, overpay your second and first liners and your top 4D, then your third and fourth liners and your bottom 2D, and all in all, I thought it was a good contract.
Yeah, and they might have, like you said, they might have overpaid him by a tad, but the most important thing is that they got the deal done before he could file for arbitration, because they obviously wanted to do it. And the only negative thing, I think this is all positive, this signing is great. 5 years, I think, is a great term and all that. The only negative thing would be that it took so long and they had to wait till the last few hours. But that's just the way it worked out.
That was the nature of the beast.
Yeah,
they wanted
the nature, Drew.
That was, as far as I'm concerned, that was
his
agent saying,
absolutely,
hey, let's see what the market's going to bear. And in the article, I compare it to three contracts. You could say four. You could throw Thomas Fleischman in there. But Eric Cole, winger, you know, power type of winger. You have, that is the one with Montreal. That was a big signing. And I compare him to another two players, and that's Ville Leino, 27 years old, a winger, offensively capable. And then Brooks Like, a guy who had very similar numbers to Ladd. All those guys, each one of them signed for $4.5 million per year as UFAs. What did Ladd sign for after next season? This next season coming up, 2011-2012, is Ladd's last RFA year. He signed for $4 million. After that, what he signed for?
$4.5 million. So if you look at those players that you just mentioned, Eric Cole going from Carolina to Montreal, Brooks Leitch staying in Washington, and Ville Leino going from Philadelphia to Buffalo, of those three players and Andrew Ladd, the one that I want to build my team around is Andrew Ladd, undoubtedly.
I was just going to say, Drew,
I agree.
He's as far as I'm concerned, those are good comparables in this free agent market. I think he's above and beyond better than those three players. Younger, better, more cup experience, more international experience. So I'm very happy with that. And like Richie said, and you know, he wrote about in the article, if he files for arbitration, gets the 1 year deal, he's going to get a lot of money. And then
if he had become a UFA, mm-hmm, which I mean, it's True North was not going to let happen.
At least 420. 4 years,
$20 million. And I don't think True North would have had an opportunity to re-sign him. I think once he becomes a UFA, if he had become a UFA, I think somebody was going, especially the way these general managers lose their mind come the start of free agency. We've seen it happen, year in and year out now since the new CBA.
Richie, a guy that I think about is Scott Gomez, who was signed to a 1 year contract with the Devils. Remember that?
I don't.
Remember, he signed a 1 year deal and then went to New York.
Rangers, yeah.
Because he wanted to know, he was in a kind of similar situation.
Yeah, he wanted to test the market, though, probably.
And the important thing to remember here, Drew, is that post lockout, the unrestricted free agency has gone down. And that's why at 27 years old, remember, it used to be 30.
Yeah. 31. Yeah.
That's right.
31,
Before, you're right. When you're 31, you're probably, I mean, you still have some good years left, but you're not at the prime of your career.
And here what you're getting is the prime is generally 23 to 26, maybe 23 to 27,
yeah,
especially for a forward. Ladd, here you're getting about 25 to 31, certainly not his downside, compared to Eric Cole for 4 years at 32 to 36.
A guy with a long history of injuries. I mean, Ville Leino, a guy who's at best inconsistent.
When presented with an opportunity, I'm not sure if you can say that.
You know, well, he wasn't fabulous in Philly last year.
Would I prefer... Well, I mean, his numbers weren't bad. Would I prefer Andrew Ladd to all of those players? Yes, I would.
Yeah, but I mean, sorry, about Ville Leino, I mean, the effort there was a little bit questionable, is all I'm saying. With Andrew Ladd, that's not an issue. You've never heard of that being an issue.
Sure.
Brooks Leitch is a good player for Washington. He's an important player for Washington, but he's really not a $4.5 million player.
I agree. I agree with that, Drew. I don't know if any of those guys are $4.5 million players.
The
comparable I used prior to July 1st was Dustin Brown,
the captain of the Los Angeles Kings. So also a guy who's got the great intangibles that Andrew Ladd brings to the
physical
table.
Physical winger,
yeah,
tough to play against, all those kind of things. And so that's the comparable. He was at, I believe, 3.1 a year. clearly the salary there's inflation, and every year you're going to be paid more and more. And the GMs, generally, aside from Chevalier, Holland, and some other ones, can't help themselves. And the GMs that can't help themselves might look great now.
But they're usually general managers in a different team 5 years down the road.
That's right. Or on TV.
Or on TV, exactly right.
Drew, this is, just to quickly jump in, I think that this is really, to say that this is an excellent signing really isn't an overstatement. We wrote on the website that it's almost as if they signed Steven Stamkos based on the fan reaction in Winnipeg. But I really think this is a no-lose situation, and I'm very happy that the two sides were able to come to this deal. Because he is the guy that you do want to build your team around. He isn't Steven Stamkos as far as offensive potential goes, but he's the captain of the team, and he's going to be the leader of the team in all aspects of the game.
And you can't overstate the symbolic importance of them getting their captain in the face of the franchise under contract. It shows to the other players that are coming from Atlanta that this is a desirable spot, and it shows to free agents throughout the NHL that this is a place that they want to be.
And that's true. But this contract was done with that in mind. But think about it practically speaking. All the timelines, Winnipeg had to get it done in this small time period, because after that, trouble.
Exactly. Let's go to break. When we come back on the other side, general manager of your Winnipeg Jets, Kevin Cheveldayoff, is going to join us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Six 6:15 in the evening. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Let's go to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Welcome to the program, general manager of your Winnipeg Jets, Kevin Cheveldayoff. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys. Welcome. Good to be back.
Thanks, Chevy. Let's start with the big signing, of course. That's what everybody in Winnipeg's been talking about for the last 24 hours. How important to the franchise was getting Andrew Ladd under contract for a significant period of time?
Well, it was important on a lot of different levels, and certainly from a personal standpoint, I won a Stanley Cup with Andrew, and I know what kind of person he is, and I know that he's a young leader that is emerging, from that aspect of things. And again, for our team moving forward, he's the right guy to be with us and lead us. And again, the commitment that he made to the franchise and the commitment that the franchise made to him, speaks volumes of what both sides think about each other.
Kevin, when in negotiations with Andrew Ladd's agent, how much of a factor did the contracts that the likes of Ville Leino and Brooks Lyke signed on July 1st have an effect?
Well, I think the Brooks Lyke one had maybe a little bit more of an effect because it happened before free agency, and the difference between the two of those is that both Leino and Lyke were total unrestricted free agents, mm-hmm. and Ladd had one more year of restricted free agency. But for us, the restricted free agent year was something that we didn't want to have to go to arbitration. Mm-hmm. He went to arbitration last year and settled just before arbitration happened. And arbitration's never a fun time where you have to, as a management team, you're talking about why the player shouldn't get money, and from the player standpoint, they're saying why the club isn't paying him enough. So we just looked at that as something that we were hoping we didn't have to get to, and we're thankful that they looked at it the same way. They didn't want to get to that. We knew there was a deal to be struck, mm-hmm. and just thankful that we were able to work towards that. And my thanks go out to their representatives as well, who was very diligent, and we spent a lot of hours on the phone together, a lot of emails back and forth, a lot of great arguments either way, and we came to a great result.
Chevy, how are negotiations progressing with Zach Bogosian?
Well, Zach, I talked with his agent yesterday, and Zach is in a little different situation than Wheeler and Ladd were, in the sense that Zach does not have arbitration rights. But nevertheless, we're talking on a regular basis, and I would say things are progressing well.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the Winnipeg Jets.
Kevin, you spoke about arbitration and how it can sometimes turn a relationship into a frosty relationship between the player and the organization. Blake Wheeler yesterday filed for player, opted as a player for arbitration. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to a hearing. How are those negotiations progressing, and do you have a timeline for how things may go prior to the hearing being set?
Well, you know, again, I talked about it a lot of times. The NHL has a lot of different deadlines in place and a lot of different things that you have to do at certain times, whether you want to do them or not. Arbitration, stuff like that. You know, again, the deadline to file was yesterday. So, if a player was not under contract and has arbitration eligibility, then, you know, it's almost like they're forced to do it, in those regards. So, we were talking to the agent of Blake yesterday, and we exchanged some different ideas. We exchanged some different thoughts, and basically, essentially, said, you know what, we'll table things for today. We know you're going to file, and we'll pick it up tomorrow. So we've had some conversations today as well, and it's an ongoing process.
Wheeler actually was down this road last year with Boston and ended up going to an arbitration hearing.
And that's something, again, I don't think any player wants to, to do that. I think we're both talking, the same language. Right now we may not be on the same page, but at least we're in the same chapter.
Kevin, when the qualifying offers were being made, there was a little bit of surprise expressed when Anthony Stewart didn't get a qualifying offer from the team. We've seen him go sign in Carolina 2 years, $1.8 million, $900,000 per season. Can you take us through the organization's mindset and in the decision to not qualify Anthony Stewart?
Well, we looked at what we thought maybe was his arbitration case, and because he did have arbitration eligibility, and so we kind of looked at it, and it was going to be more money than what we were prepared to spend on him at that point in time. So we decided to not qualify him, as some other teams did, to their respective free agents. And at the end of the day, we did have some conversations with him after the fact, but it wasn't something that we were prepared to move forward with. And I'm happy that he's found a new home in Carolina.
Kevin, just to confirm, the CBA is a little bit, ambiguous on this. The minimum amount that you can't walk away from as a club is now about $1.6 million. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's roughly $1.6 or $1.7 million. And so any arbitration award that is, not greater than that,
right,
you cannot walk away from. And it's a tough one because,
sure,
Anthony had 14 goals, and, different players, that's the thing. They look at, different statistics at different points in time. And, in our situation, it was something that, we weren't comfortable, potentially having to get up to a number that we might have gotten to.
Is there still a possibility on the table that the Winnipeg Jets are going to add some more free agents that are still out there on the market?
Yeah, I would think there's a possibility because, we still feel that, there's some areas that we would like to upgrade. We continue to looking as we've been looking, from the start of free agency. We'll look at all different things. We'll explore trade options. We'll explore different avenues, to look at improving the team.
Kevin, sort of a two-part question here to wrap up. First one, Andrew Ladd, did he get a no-trade clause or a no-movement clause of any sort in his contract?
He received a modified no-trade, not a full no-trade. So there's certain terms within the contract that that allow him to restrict certain number of teams that he cannot be traded to.
Sure. And we'll let you go on this last question here. There's now that the head coach, Claude Noel, has been decided upon, any progress in the search for an assistant head coach?
Interview process is ongoing. We've had some interviews, continuing some interviews, both from the assistant coach's standpoint, the video coach standpoint. We're hoping to, reach a conclusion at some point in time in the near future here. But again, it's an ongoing process. You have to seek permission from different clubs for people that are under contract to their respective clubs, and sometimes permission is granted, sometimes not. And you have to expect that at any point in time, but certainly at this point in time in the summer. So we do have some great options, some people that have great experience, some people that are great up and comers as well. So hopefully we can come to a conclusion on that soon.
One more question, Kevin.
Sure.
Have you slept yet?
I sleep between the time that I'm awake. That's what my wife asked me the other night. She said, have you slept? And, it's one of those things where by the end of the day, you're kind of dragging, but in the morning, you're re-energized and ready to go. And, there's lots of things on the go. We talk a lot about the Winnipeg Jets, but, there's certainly you know, the farm team in St. John's as well that we're relocating and having to stock up on as well. Lots of, you know, different things working on the coaching staff there as well that, you know, hopefully we'll come to a conclusion on that at some point here soon. And, you know, again, lots of different things, you know, both on and off the ice, right from, you know, the plane that you charter to the hotels that you stay at to the training camp to lots of different things. So it's an exciting time.
Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the Winnipeg Jets. Thanks again for your time this evening. You know, you could use it sleeping, but instead you give it to a few of us yahoos. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Chevy. Take care. Thank you. Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the Winnipeg Jets. From the start of Class Act, still continues unabated.
Yeah, it's awesome. Chevy's already come on our show twice, and he's only been the general manager, Drew, for what, 3 weeks now? So,
and you know what? Candid and honest and willing to give. One thing you have to like is.
Willing to
answer questions and respectfully, and he does a great job. He's smooth, and he's, and again, in terms of what he's done, the Andrew Ladd signing is really important. Also important that he did not jump into the mayhem that was July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. You have to be happy if you're a hockey fan in the city. People are talking about the salary floor. Don't worry about the salary floor. That will be taken care of. There's not even an issue
sign these guys.
Don't worry about that.
You need that puck. You need that cap space.
Exactly.
You've got Evander Kane coming up in a couple of years. You need all these guys.
You could spend a bit of it, but there's no reason to go even past the mid-level. You're not looking to compete for the cup. Spend your money judiciously at this point. Yeah. Develop the players and let the young guys have their space. You know, I don't mind the signing of a veteran guy to come in and kind of be a role model.
Have they signed a guy like Langenbrunner or Arnott, who both went to St. Louis today?
Yeah, St. Louis needs that kind of leadership.
Absolutely. That's an underachieving young team that has been for a number of years.
Exactly, and we'll talk about that later. But a guy or two maybe, but anything more than that you don't want. And a guy like a Randy Jones who competes for a 5-6-7 slot, if he's not playing, he's a veteran, he can handle it. He hasn't played in Philly before, he hasn't played in LA before. Yeah. He knows how to handle it. He's a good guy in the locker room. And so those are guys you want around. But you don't want a guy who's going to eat up big minutes when Evander Kane can develop and Blake Wheeler can develop. You know, Ladd's already developed. But guys like that, Burmistrov, for example.
Yeah.
Burmistrov played a ton of games last year for a rookie. You know, obviously he hit a few walls, but you want him to play. You want Brian Little to take the next step, to revert back to his 3 seasons ago form of 31 goals.
Yeah.
And you want that stuff to happen. You want Bogosian to get big minutes. And you don't want guys eating into that time.
No, you need the cap space. You need the cap space going forward for
flexibility.
You're right. Flexibility is the key. You don't want to be these guys who are stuck right up against the cap. You don't want to be Calgary.
What do we say?
You don't want to be Calgary.
What do we say last week on Saturday too? No such thing as a bad 1 year deal. What have the UFA contracts been that they've signed?
6 1-year deals.
There you go.
That's right. And you can't go wrong with that. Let's head to break. When we come back, Jeff Kerbison of the Winnipeg Free Press coming up. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio. In the evening, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We just heard from Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of your Winnipeg Jets. In case you missed any of the interview or any of the program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes. Subscribe and get the show sent to your iPod each and every week. Of course, you can always find it on www.illegalcurve.com. That's our website. Follow us on Twitter @IllegalCurve. Follow us on Facebook. Facebook.com/IllegalCurve. Trying to track down Jeff Kerbison of the Winnipeg Free Press. He's scheduled to join us coming up at some point in the next couple minutes. Remus is hard at work trying to do that. You know, you can't overstate, I know we just spoke about it last segment, but you can't overstate how important, how you can see the general managers that know what they're doing, you know, in regards to free agency, and those general managers who have no clue and think that winning is simply
winning.
Winning is simply giving out the biggest contracts, you know, to the quote-unquote highest-named players.
Are you saying that James Wisniewski isn't worth $5.5 million a year?
Yes, I am. I am saying that. And the truth, I mean, you look at the Toronto Blue Jays. Toronto Blue Jays are a team that is not going to be able to compete with the biggest of the big names in baseball in the free agency market. So what they decided to do is they decided to pour their resources into scouting. That's where they're going to build from. They're going to build. They have the largest scouting staff in the major leagues. Mm-hmm. That's these small to medium market teams.
Well, first of all, let's be real here. The Jays aren't a small or medium market
team. No, of course. They choose to be. Okay. Sorry.
But yes, the point's
teams
well
taken. Like, the teams like Columbus,
yes,
and the teams like Winnipeg to some extent, and the Nashvilles, and Nashville does a great job at it. Columbus should not spend $5.5 million on James Wisniewski.
Nobody should.
They should spend an appropriate amount on an average defenseman, because that's what you're talking about, and they should pour their resources into scouting. That's how they're going to become a Stanley Cup winner. And the good general managers recognize that, and they budget and they spend their money accordingly.
Agreed.
I'm confident that with what we have here in Winnipeg is we have general managers who subscribe to that same philosophy.
That's just it, Drew, and I think you're exactly right. You know, you don't want to overpay, you don't want to regret things, you don't want to overpay on a long-term deal. And so far, so good in that respect. You feel confident in how he comes across. You feel confident in, you know, that maybe some questions as to the draft pick. Who knows? We don't know. We haven't seen him play, so we certainly don't know. But I like how he's confident enough and doesn't feel like he has to go by, you know, he being Shoveldey off and then Heisinger and the
organization. Scouting staff. Organizational
goes by
wise.
what they want, goes by what they believe to be the best player, and they're confident in that. They're not trying to, you know, please everybody. They're doing things the right way. And that's something that's, you know, that should instill confidence in the fan base. Now, I'll tell you one thing right now, Drew. This patience... This looks great. I'm talking about the fans right now.
Yeah.
Patience is great to an extent to the management, but they'll be far more patient. Fans need to understand, probably a bottom five team next year. Maybe outside that, maybe bottom 10.
I think they're going to be better than that. I'll tell you why. I think the players will perform to their utmost peak because I think they're going to get a boost from being in a hockey market. There's obviously no empirical evidence of that. I just think it's
true.
It's my belief.
Any increase in that production, as any increase in that production, which I don't know if that exists or not, I think will be offset by the insane travel schedule.
You never know, though, Drew. Maybe Jeff Kerbison, who we're trying to get a hold of, maybe he has some empirical evidence, but it's going to be very difficult for the Jets to, let's say, crack the top four or top five, definitely. I think they're definitely better than a few teams in their division, Florida being one of them.
I think Florida's the only one.
I think they're going to be in tough to make a playoff spot.
That's good. You want a high pick,
the fans will definitely give them a boost. Some games, definitely. In some markets, you can say that it's a detriment, but the team is definitely going to have to, you know, grind for every win they get this year.
All the fans really demand,
yes,
and I wrote about it today on the website, all the fans are going to demand is a high effort, a high level of effort night in and night out.
That's exactly it.
I think they're going to get it, especially when you guys got guys like Andrew Ladd who demand the players take accountability for their actions and their performance. So, you know, when the players themselves are demanding a high effort and the fans see them performing at a high level each and every night, going out and maybe not winning, but at least being competitive, they're going to be okay with that for this year. And they're going to be okay with that, you know, for a little bit of next year. But they want to see improvement.
The fans should also be expect that Andrew Ladd probably won't be producing point totals in and above 65 points. I mean, this is the thing, Drew. He plays the left side, so does Evander Kane, right? Over time, you want Evander Kane to hop over him. And then you want Evander Kane to be the number one left winger and Ladd to be the number two left winger. With that comes a little bit less ice time for Ladd than the over 20 minutes that he played last year. Totally fine. Because you probably want him to be the number one left winger for 2 years before Kane hops over him. But people have to keep their expectations in check for Andrew Ladd.
Yeah. He's not going to get you 100 points.
No, exactly.
He's not going to get you 100 points, and don't expect that he's going to.
Right.
Frankly, he's not getting paid to get you 100 points. He's getting paid to give you 65 to 70 points.
Well, that's high.
Which is high. Probably closer to 60 points, 55 to 60.
50 to 60.
Okay. You're paying him to produce at that level. You're paying him to be the leader on and off the ice.
Play against tough defenders on the other team.
Be responsible.
He plays against tough defenders.
Right.
That means Kane gets to play against easier defenders.
That's right. You're paying him to play go up against the number one shutdown pairing on the other team, which is obviously going to affect his point totals and everything else accordingly.
That's right.
But that's what you're expecting. That's all you're expecting if you're accurately looking at this team, and then you're looking at exactly Evander Kane to take on the bulk of the scoring responsibility in the coming years.
Drew, ask anybody who watched or played with Andrew Ladd in 2006 or 2010. 2006, obviously, he's with the Hurricanes. In 2010, he was with the Blackhawks. He was a key part of both of those Stanley Cup champion teams. He was young at the time. It's not like Andrew Ladd was getting 3 or 4 minutes.
He was a key part, but he was also not in the top six of either team.
No, he wasn't in the top six, Richie, but he was definitely a key part and played a huge role in both both, more so in 2010 with the Hawks.
Absolutely.
But you're right. He wasn't getting the majority of the goals. So really, if you think about it, this is the perfect guy that you want in this position. Sure, you know, would it be nicer if you had Steven Stamkos or someone else? But we don't. So
that's right.
They are doing a very good job managing what they have right now. You can't deny that.
I'm absolutely agree with
you. Not you personally, just anybody.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were saying that.
Why don't we throw open the phone lines, see if we can get some calls on this. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. If you have some thoughts on the Andrew Ladd signing, what you'd like to see from the Jets throughout the rest of the free agency, we'll try and get you on throughout the program this evening. Ladd is going to... You're exactly right. This is not a team that is going to win a significant amount of games next year.
Drew, what I'd like to do is this.
Tremendously overachieve if they made the playoffs.
Okay, people talk about expectations. You're in the Eastern Conference, okay? Let's talk about which teams you're better than. Instead of saying, you can finish 12th. Well, tell me, okay?
Yeah.
You have the Eastern Conference, and you have the North East Division, okay? Are they better than the Rangers?
No. That's the Atlantic Division.
Sorry, Atlantic. Are they better than the Rangers?
No.
Are they better than the Flyers?
No.
Are they better than the Penguins?
No.
Back it up a little bit.
Are they better than the Devils?
They might not be better than the Rangers or the Flyers, but based on the Flyers' moves, I wouldn't say that they're leaps.
Come on.
Hey, I can have an opinion.
You can have an opinion, but don't be wrong with your opinion, because that's a wrong opinion.
Their top nine is ridiculous.
Yeah, they're not better than... They're better than the Islanders in the Atlantic Division. That's the only team.
That's one team.
Yeah.
Okay? So far, one team.
Okay.
Northeast.
Yeah.
Are they better than Montreal?
Nope.
No. Are they better than Boston?
No.
Are they better than Buffalo?
No.
Are they better than Toronto?
Yes.
Yeah.
It could be. Yeah. They're in Ottawa. Could be.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's three teams.
Right.
Okay. And then you have one more division.
Okay.
Right. You have the.
You have your own division.
You have your own Southeast. Yeah. Are you better than Washington?
No.
No.
Are you better than Tampa?
No.
Are you better than Carolina?
No.
No. You're better than Carolina.
No. So
you're better than Florida, maybe. So
you're
that's
better
four
Florida
teams.
Because of your goaltending.
And four teams. So 15, 14, 13, 12. That's 11th.
That's right.
Don't tell me you're making the playoffs.
You're not.
And your travel schedule is insane.
That's right.
It's like 20,000 more kilometers than any other team.
That's
funny. I'm going to put something up on the site about the schedule. I think we have a caller here, but their schedule is very lopsided, Drew. Super long road trip towards the end of October, November, and then a homestand in December where they play 12 out of 14 games at home. So
because
the schedule is going to be all over the place.
What the NHL did is when they sent them down to the southeastern United States, they left them there for 2 weeks at a time.
That's right.
The weirdest part is when...
we inherited their schedule.
No, we didn't, because the argument was that we did inherit Atlanta's schedule. We didn't. This is completely tailored to Winnipeg.
Of course.
So the argument that they couldn't have switched them divisions is ridiculous.
No, it doesn't.
It's all politics about Detroit, Nashville, and Columbus.
They didn't have enough time to get the Board of Governors on board for a schedule change. That's the problem.
Drew's a politician.
Yeah, well, we can discuss the politics.
When are you running, Drew? 2014?
Not anytime soon. Let's go to Jeff in Sanford. He's on line one. Jeff, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well, Jeff. How you doing?
Hey, no.
I'm good. I know we're talking about the Jets, but I've been hearing a lot about Stamkos, and I was just wondering, do you guys, I don't believe that he's going to leave Tampa. Do you guys think there's any chance of him actually leaving?
No, I really don't think so, because the truth is that Jeff Vinnick's going to match, essentially, as said, three different people, that he's going to match anything they get. I don't see at this point in time an offer sheet I thought might have been possible July 1st prior to other teams, like Philly signing other free agents. I don't see it happening. It might take a little while, but Yzerman is going to have a lot of money to spend on Stamkos here, and a billionaire like Vinnick is a tough guy to go. If you want to offer sheet somebody, you offer sheet somebody on an organization, like Phoenix or like St. Louis, teams that are, or even Florida, teams that are looking to sell, who aren't sure if they want in, and whose ownership might not want to take on a $100 million commitment. When Vinnick is so into this team, he probably won't go anywhere.
Yeah, that's what I thought. My buddy was crazy for thinking he would go anywhere.
you can tell your buddy we said he's crazy. Jeff,
will do. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. Appreciate that. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290.
Andrew, even though I'm going to disagree with Richie in that I think the Jets are going to make the playoffs, keep in mind that I picked the Kings to win the Stanley Cup, so I'm rarely right. But having said that, I agree with Richie about Stamkos. They have the cap room. They're not letting Stamkos go. Jeff Vinnick's on the record. I mean, Stamkos is not going anywhere. He's the franchise right now.
And they're in it to Vinnick.
Yeah. Oh, well done. Well done. Stamkos isn't going anywhere. I think, for some reason it wouldn't shock me if the Jets made the playoffs, but the truth of the matter is,
I don't want them to.
I was going
to
say that. For the long-term
you don't want to see a whiteout?
You'll see a whiteout.
You'll see a whiteout on Sunday
against Montreal. The Sunday, October 9th, you'll see a whiteout then, that's for sure. I have no doubts about that.
I don't get it.
That's the first game. That's Sunday, October 9th against Montreal.
They're not planning a whiteout.
There for sure be a whiteout.
Like, there's no chance there won't be a whiteout.
Not a full-out playoff whiteout.
Yeah, of course.
Playoff whiteout. I'm not talking about a first game whiteout. I'm talking about I want to see the Jets in the playoffs, and I want to see a playoff whiteout. I don't. Okay, you guys are talking about a couple guys wearing white jerseys. I'm talking about them making the playoffs and them actually having a whiteout.
I'm thinking
is in the playoffs.
I'm thinking I want to see Remus in the studio for the next segment after your bad predictions segment. That's weak.
You're being mean to me again.
Yeah.
We talked about this off air.
I know. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about more of the free agent signings, more of your calls. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. .45 in the evening. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Drew, who is that?
I'm guessing it's either the Black Keys.
Black Keys.
Okay.
Check out the big brain on Drew.
I heard you guys talking about it.
We've only played Black Keys on the show for about 2.5 years or however long we've
great,
been
great
on
concert
the air.
Is.
Yeah, it was a great concert.
And then our after-concert meal with Melissa Martin from the Free Press.
Oh, really? There's a meal involved?
She wrote a review.
Shout out to Melissa.
What happened was, instead of writing a review on the concert, she ended up writing a review about the dinner with us.
Yep. Well, she referred to me running into you guys as there were shenanigans afoot. So she did say send help if she doesn't return in an hour.
Oh, boy.
I haven't seen her in 3 days, yep. So I mean, I don't know what you guys did.
Great concert. They should play the Black Keys at the MTS Center for sure, like during the games.
I was going to say, like, the Jets should play the Black Keys. I don't know if the Black Keys play hockey.
No, I mean, like, as an intro song or as an in-game song, whatever. I mean, they're a good band. They're popular.
Yeah, anything that's, the Bomber games. You go to the Bomber games, and they're playing, like, Dance Mix 93.
Yep. Yeah, why is Dance Mix 93 still popular?
Because Remus picks the music at the Jets games. That's at the Bomber games. That's why they play
Dance
Mix 93.
It's like 2000.
That's Remus's taste in music for you. Anthony Stewart, Richard.
Yes, I want to quickly get into the Anthony Stewart. Now, he signed with Carolina, I think, July 3rd for a 2-year deal, as you mentioned in our interview with Kevin Chevalier, for $1.8 million total. Ended up being $800,000 the first year, and then $1 million the second year.
$100,000 million?
$1 billion.
$800,000 this year, yes. $1 million next year, average annual cap hit of $900,000.
Right.
Okay.
Now, he went pretty quick. And Anthony Stewart's apparently on Jim Rutherford's list of free agents to target. He targeted him. It fits in well with their youth movement there. Carolina's got a lot of young talent, guys. Good thing they're only in our division for 1 year in the Jets division, because that's a lot of young talent on that squad, and they're only going to be getting better and better. Anyways, so the argument was, and the question was, why the team let Anthony Stewart go for nothing? And then Kevin Chevalier was on the show a little while ago, explaining that they were worried that the arbitration numbers, and he had a pretty good arbitration case, would have been difficult to deal with, right?
Right.
Because they had a number of options, and I wrote about it on illegalcurve.com, and I've clarified it since. There's a number of articles about this. I'm going to have a further clarification tonight. But basically it was this. They had a number of options with him, and I'm going to read you the options of what they could have done, okay?
Sure.
The first, and that goes into deep CBA talk, but the first is that they could have qualified Anthony Stewart. Now, they could have qualified Anthony Stewart at $695,000, $695,200, right? $695,200. That's what they could have qualified him at. Now, qualifying only means they retain his rights. It doesn't mean they can sign him at that price, except for when a player accepts that as right. their contract, which if they would have tendered Robbie Shrimp, qualified him, he would have accepted it as his contract.
And it means that no other team can sign him without having to give up those draft picks.
So no teams, they could have qualified him. The possibility therein lied that no team would tender him an offer sheet and attempt to sign him to, and then what they could have done is attempt to sign him for a one-year deal to play in Winnipeg. If they couldn't sign him to a one-year deal and neither party opted for salary arbitration, although that's highly unlikely, Stewart could have sat out until a contract was reached.
Right. Also, like you said, not likely.
Right. Second option was qualify him and risk that another team sign him to an offer sheet. Now, this is the catch.
You don't get any compensation unless that team offered Anthony Stewart more than what dollar amount?
$1 million, $1,034,249.
Okay, so just over $1 million. So if you qualify him and then the Carolina Hurricanes come in and offer him $950,000, and the Jets say you can have him, you get no compensation.
Now, the argument is this, so, Drew. If the team spoke to him after free agency, which it appeared it did,
yes,
you have to wonder if they were okay with any amount under $1,034,000. You know, it's a question.
It's a fair question. What it really boils down to...
Now, there's more options.
I know there's more options, but I mean, we'll send people to illegalcurve.com if they want to read those options, because it's really a visual thing. It's hard to comprehend. What it really boils down to is that the team was afraid that he would accept and want to go to arbitration, and they would likely get stuck having to pay him, say, $1.5 million for the year. Because they would have no option to get out of that,
right?
Unless the arbitrator decided that he was worth more than 1.7 million.
I can tell you the amount right now. The amount. What happens is all these numbers in the original CBA they increase as the average annual salary in the National Hockey League goes up, right?
Right.
So what happens? That's the issue. Now the actual amount is, I believe, 1.63.
Fine. So unless the arbitrator...
Which he wouldn't have given him over 1.63.
Right. So the team... So obviously the Jets were prepared to pay Anthony Stewart, let's say, $850,000.
That's right.
That was their high point.
Right.
You know, because, you know, he signed in Carolina for $900,000 per average annual. So, you know, let's say the Jets were prepared to get him for $850,000.
Right.
If they qualified him, then they would have gone to arbitration.
Right.
And it's likely that he would have made $1.3 million in arbitration,
right?
Which is not an unreasonable amount for the arbitrator to have awarded him. You know, the arbitrator could have easily awarded him $1.3 million.
Right.
And the team would have been stuck paying him more than they wanted to pay him.
Now, you could have offered maybe a two-year deal within the realm of what Carolina had. This is the issue, Drew.
Yeah.
If you go to salary arbitration, if the player elects it, and it's below 1.6 and you can't walk away, which is a clarification provided me today by our friend Mike Colligan and then confirmed by Kevin Cheveldayoff, you could conceivably accept the offer, similar to what Boston did last year with Blake Wheeler. They went up, Wheeler opted for arbitration. Yeah. The arbitrator gave him, I think, $2.2 million. Boston accepted that, later on traded him.
That's right.
Now, I'm not sure. I haven't read the CBA close enough in that respect to see if there's a buffer where they can't trade him for a certain period of time. But if there isn't, you could have always accepted the arbitration award and then traded him. The risk, of course, is that his contract is untradeable. So there's many factors, although the impression I get from the conversation we had with Kevin Cheveldayoff is that they spoke to him after the fact, so maybe that character issue that people had rumored isn't necessarily true. And we qualified it on illegalcurve.com by saying that was just a rumor.
That's a rumor. You never know exactly. But that's an interesting comment. You mentioned character. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have our good friend Zach from Toronto is on line one. He wants to talk about the article I wrote earlier today about the True North's and the Winnipeg Jets' commitment to character. Zach, welcome to the program.
Hey now, guys.
Hey now, Zach.
I wanted to talk about your article today, Drew. It was called, what's the goo column called? Hoisting the Petard?
Yeah, hosting the Petard, which we can discuss at a later date and time. The article for those...
What about now, Drew?
Well, I'll explain it later for those of you who aren't Shakespeare fans, but
which is all of us.
Yeah, which might be all of you, that's right. With the article that I wrote about today is that True North is putting a premium on character, because they're building their brand, and they want their brand to be one that people can be proud of, even if the results on the ice might not be to the level that people would expect. You know, people always want a winner. My point was that if the players that they're cheering for are good people, have high character, people are willing to not necessarily cheer, people are willing to accept a team that might not win all the time.
Okay, so Drew, here's what I want to tell you.
Okay.
You're right to a certain extent. But here's what I don't like.
Okay.
This Winnipeg Jets team is not an expansion team.
They're not an expansion team, but they are a very young team. So
they're a rebuilding team. They're a team that's a few years away from being in a position to really go after, you know, an expensive UFA to build on, right?
Finish your thoughts, Zach. Let's hear.
So here's what I'm thinking. I this offseason, I have no issues with the approach they took in terms of the moves they made and staying quiet and not getting into that madness. It wasn't the best free agent crop. Mm-hmm. However, I think there comes to a point where you need to show the league, you need to show the big players in the league, whether it be agents or other general managers, that you're willing to take that step when it comes. And I'm not really sure that, you know, this whole character-driven thing is really going to do that. I mean, Drew, in your article, you made the comparison. You brought up the Portland Trailblazers.
Right.
You know,
right.
The Jailblazers.
Yeah.
But you got to keep in mind, these are hockey players.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to find... hockey players are a completely different breed than, you know, some of the athletes in terms of character versus other sports. There are some bad eggs here and there, but, you know, the hockey players in general are, I would say, good guys in comparison to the other sports. And the thing about building a first-class organization is, number one, especially in hockey, if you look at a place like Detroit where it's not exactly the best city to live in,
mm-hmm.
especially these days, it's about winning. It's about having that stability. It's about having a winning team in place, not just on the ice, but above that.
Look, everybody wants a winner. They have to, everybody, they demand a winner at some point in time. But in the interim, before that team is going to be a dominant team at the top of the, you know, of whatever conference they're in, there's going to be some growing pains. And I think people are more willing to put up with growing pains of a team with high character than they are with growing pains of a team with some people that might be of questionable character.
You're speaking about a lovable loser kind of thing.
Yeah, a lovable loser. A lovable loser. That's exactly a good reference.
And there is a grace period here. Not only emotional ties and the fact that the team is back here, but there's a financial grace period being the 3 to 5 years minimum that people signed in for tickets.
That's right.
After the 3 to 5 years, you can put all that stuff aside and you have to be competing.
Yeah. Zach, appreciate the call as usual, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Hey, I know Zach's going to still, you know, he's off the line now, but he's still listening. What about, you know, Taming the Shrew? What about Taming the Drew?
I like it.
Is this back to a Shakespeare reference?
I like it.
Taming the Drew.
I like it.
That's a given. I walked right into that one, Drew.
I like that's good.
A petard, for the record, is a play on the, you know, you've heard the expression hoisted on your own petard?
No.
Richard?
I wasn't born in the 3rd century.
Drew, we weren't all 130 when we read Shakespeare's first book.
Forget it. Google it and you guys will understand why my column is called Hosting the Petard. Hosting being a pun on hoisting because I'm the host of the show, although after this segment I'm not sure for how much longer I will be.
Drew, what was it like to live in the 19th century?
And Drew, the internet must be really blowing your mind, huh?
Yeah, the technological advances are earth-shattering. Let's go to break. I'm going to go see if I can find some nicer friends. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.